This is Rock Chalk Sports Talk with Nick Schwert on new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN.
It's about half past four here on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. I'm Nick Schwert. Derek Johnson joins me in studio. Appreciate you hanging out with us. Let's get into your Tuesday edition news break, your 4:30 news break, and kind of lost in the shuffle with the Lawson twins and Charlie Moore. You got another addition to the basketball team today, Chris Tehan. And yes, it is a relation to Connor Tehan, the younger brother of the former Kansas basketball player. He's the walk-on for KU next season. 6'5", 190 pounds. Attended Rockhurst High School, same place where Tehan went to. Averaged 16 points, 6 boards. Shot 36% from 3 this last season. His older brother, Connor, played for KU from 08 to 2012. He came on as a walk-on initially, but later became a scholarship player.
And an important one on a national championship.
Sixth man on a national championship team. So that would make Chris, what, like 9 years younger than Connor? If Connor played for KU in 2008 as his first year, and Chris Tehan's graduating from high school in 2017, that's quite the gap between brothers. So I guess shout out to Mr. and Mrs. Tehan for
or it was an accident.
For keeping their hearts throbbing for one another after all those years. So Chris Tehan to join next year. He's a walk-on, but he's going to come on as a walk-on and immediately have the highest expectations in Kansas walk-on history. Because, hey, your brother did it. Your brother came on as a walk-on, and he became an important scholarship player. So why can't you do it as well? I don't know what KU's going to end up doing. Now, we talked to Matt Tate, and he said that he thinks Svi is going to come back. I'm under the impression that if you're going pro, if you're putting your name in the draft the way that Svi has, you have to do it with the mindset of it's going to work out. Like, I'm going to work really hard. I'm going to get some good feedback, and I'm going to go pro. So I actually think there will be a scholarship available. I'm not saying I think it's going to go to Chris Tehan, but I wouldn't be shocked at all if Svi keeps his name in the draft and KU has another scholarship to fill for next year. And I think they'd probably try to use it on a guy who could actually come in and play. Because if Svi doesn't come back, then you're talking about 9 guys who you have at your disposal, which wouldn't be much of an upgrade at all over last
year. But hey, they got Chris Tehan, so add another one.
They got Chris Tehan. And maybe he'll come in and shoot 45% from 3 in practice this summer and earn himself a scholarship. I don't know if you paid much attention to this over the weekend. I didn't hear about this story until yesterday. Rangers starting pitcher A.J. Griffin was scratched from his Saturday start against the Royals this past weekend, apparently because the dude ate too much fish. The Rangers were on a recent 9-game road stretch on the West Coast, and Griffin said he ate sushi 5 or 6 times, which seems a bit aggressive, and that apparently caused his gout to flare up. You know what gout is?
Yeah, my dad has it.
That sounds like an old man disorder. What is it?
Basically, you eat certain types of like rich foods, and it causes some type of like pain in your foot.
That sounds like an old illness. That sounds like something we should have found a remedy for. Maybe I should have put that on yesterday's Let's Rank stuff. It's like shingles or rickets or like scurvy. It's like gout. Come on. An athlete shouldn't be getting gout. Now, he said his father dealt with gout for 2 decades, Griffin did. He said his foot was sensitive to the touch on Friday, and it was so swollen that he couldn't even put on socks. And he said he had no range of motion in his ankle on Friday, but was much better on Saturday. Doesn't this kind of sound like a case of tripped over the dog while walking to the bathroom in the middle of the night sort of deal? I don't remember ever seeing a professional athlete.
Did you say it's a little fishy?
Being scratched because of gout.
That was a bad joke.
But, you know, I'm looking at a picture of A.J. Griffin. And just based off, you know, surface
impressions,
takeaways, he looks like one of the most susceptible human beings to gout I may have ever seen. Like, I smell a Uloric commercial appearance, an endorsement in Griffin's future.
I think he kind of looks like type of guy who would listen to like John Denver while he's ripping off the sleeves of his American flag shirt.
He looks like the kind of guy who would own like the Smokey and the Bandit collector's edition on box set, like the entire series. That's who AJ Griffin looks like.
You think AJ Griffin went to prom in a camo suit?
or he went to prom in the Canadian tuxedo, all denim.
Probably using farmersonly.com instead of Tinder.
He looks like the kind of guy who would, like, as a kid, he, like, found a dead body down by the river, and instead of notifying the authorities, he just, like, went down there after school every day and poked it with a stick. And he, like, bring his friends down. Hey, check out what I found.
You know what he looks like? Looks like he'd be from West Virginia.
He does look like he'd be from West Virginia. He looks like...
Oh, moonshine.
He looks like he would be a finalist for the Mountaineer mascot competition. He looks like the kind of guy who would, like, if you're eating, like, fried catfish, which he probably eats a lot of, he would ask you, like, if you're going to finish that, if you left, like, just some scraps on your plate, and he'd just, like, reach over the table aggressively and finish off everybody else's.
You know what he looks like to get that catfish? He's either going noodling or he's throwing dynamite in the ocean or the water.
That guy has been noodling double
down
digits.
Down at the creek.
Double digits. He looks like he would be... Like, he would be the owner of an extensive collection of snakes that he acquired from the southwestern United States. Like, poisonous, venomous snakes. And he's got a lot of them.
He's the type of guy who has, like, the pickup truck with the big LEDs, and him and his buds are just putting down a six-pack in an open field.
The big racks on the top. And on the back of it, there's a Confederate flag bumper sticker. It's like a 1992 Ford F-150. And he's got an accompanying sticker that reads, "These colors don't run." That's who AJ Griffin is. He looks like the kind of guy who would ask you if you're free this weekend to come and help him repair his pontoon boat so that you guys can go out this summer at Party Cove.
Is this getting personal at all for you?
AJ Griffin kind of looks like the guy who would tell you that his grandma makes the world's best potato salad. Like, you gotta try it, man. She makes the best. You'll love it.
He's definitely the type of guy who's drinking, like, Jack Daniels or some type of whiskey just straight out the bottle.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. When he's not drinking moonshine.
Yes.
Or Natural Light.
Yes.
If he's drinking beer, it's gonna be Natty Light.
Or Bud Light.
I'll bet you when he's wearing those sleeveless flannel shirts that you referenced, I'll bet you he's got an R.I.P. Donna tattoo on his bicep.
I'll bet you he's got a leather jacket with an American Eagle on the back.
I'll bet you that at one point in his life, he has been the owner of a trailer home. And nothing wrong with owning a trailer home, but I'm just telling you, he's owned one. And I can say, I've been, have you ever been in a trailer home?
No, I have
They're not big in California, are they?
No.
Well, because I grew up in Topeka, and I had a handful of friends who lived in trailers, and they're fine. But whenever I was going over to, like, spend the night at my buddy's house who happened to live in a trailer, I always knew, like, this is going to be one of those fun nights where anything could happen. I was excited to go over there because those were always the nights where, you know, you could get away with some stuff. Like, you always thought, you know, some S might go down tonight when I go visit, you know, Jeremy at the trailer park. I'm Nick Schwert. This is the news break on Rock Chalk Sports Talk. New FM 101.7, 1320 KLWN. The USGA, United States Golf Association, is cracking down on snitching. They announce a rule change that will put an end to those snitching TV viewers.
Finally.
If you remember earlier this month, Lexi Thompson of the LPGA lost out on a chance to win a major after a viewer at home emailed the LPGA that she had improperly marked her ball on the 17th hole of the third round. After conferring, a rules official confronted her as she was walking off the 12th green on Sunday. 13 holes later, nearly 24 hours had passed, the rules official informed Thompson of the news. She was penalized 4 strokes, 2 for the incorrect ball placement, and then 2 more for signing an incorrect scorecard at the end of the round. So she teed off on the 13th hole. She's in tears, crying. She had a two-stroke tournament lead, and now all of a sudden it had turned into a two-stroke deficit. So the LPGA and the PGA had both encouraged viewers to call in and alert officials to rules violations if they see them on TV, but not anymore, because now the committee has concluded that if such facts could not reasonably have been seen with the naked eye and the player was not otherwise aware of the potential breach, the player will not be deemed to have breached the rules even when video technology shows otherwise. So as long as the player does what can like reasonably be expected under the circumstances to make an accurate determination, that player's judgment is going to be accepted, even if it's later shown to be inaccurate by the use of video evidence. So while every sport is modernizing and incorporating video and instant replay more often, golf is doing away with it. And you know what? I, for one, am a huge proponent.
So did the article go on to say snitches get stitches?
Did the you're asking me if the USGA said that snitches get stitches?
I want to know. These are things we need to know.
I don't believe so, but...
But you don't know.
It's kind of insinuated, is it not?
I'd like to use my imagination.
It's just the problem with this, and particularly with that scenario with Lexi Thompson, was the amount of time. Like, if a caller can call in and instantly give that determination, and you can instantly put the penalty strokes on them, I'm fine with it. But when you're doing it after the fact, you can't do it 13 holes later because right. If you know you have a penalty or an infraction, you're going to play differently. You're going to have a different strategy.
Plus, not knowing until the day after, that cost her two more strokes because of the signed scorecard. It's not that she signed a scorecard that was wrong because she
it wasn't
knew it
wrong,
was wrong
at the time.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
It wasn't wrong at the time. And what about the player she was playing with? They signed an inaccurate scorecard as well. So it's just bogus, and I'm glad that they have decided to crack down on that. And finally, former Vikings and MVP running back Adrian Peterson reaches a two-year deal with the New Orleans Saints worth $7 million. Peterson's 32. He became a free agent last month when the Vikings decided, you know what? We're not going to pick up your $18 million contract for next year. He played three games last season. I think it was for two more years. He played three games last season after suffering a torn meniscus in September. And he has failed to eclipse 40 carries in two of the last three seasons. Mark Ingram's like 27, and isn't he coming off like the best two-year run of his career?
Yeah, well,
but they're not paying him
that, get deeper.
You only pay him $3 million.
It's like backup running back money.
Well, he is going to be the backup running back, I'd assume. I mean, if you have 40 carries of your last three seasons, I think if you're the Saints, you're saying low risk, high reward. You're only paying this guy $3.5 million. It's an option, so they don't have to pick up that option after the first year. So if he proves to come out and look like an MVP, well, then you've got the best running back tandem in the NFL. If not, you're not out of pocket that much. He's Derek Johnson. I'm Nick Schwert. That's your news break on Rock Chalk Sports Talk on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. KU has completely embraced this transfer epidemic, the transfer uptick over the past couple of years. How has it worked for them in the past, and what can we expect moving forward? We'll dive into it next.